I'm going to start this morning with two tiny intros to my Torah this morning. One is I used to do lots of youth work, Shabbatonim, usually with unaffiliated kids with very little background. And it was always it always bothered me. Sometimes I'd hear other madrichim explaining certain things wherein there were so many great options and so many great answers that they could have used, and they sometimes use like this random, maybe even weird sounding answer, or even discussing something or bringing up something that they didn't have to bring up. In other words, yeah, these people are unaffiliated. You don't have to talk about some weird halacha. You can start with something more beautiful or talk about something more relevant in their lives. That was always bothering me, and I'm going to give you a specific example of that and tie it into what I'm going to say this morning with challah. Why do we cover the challah on Friday night? Right, so everyone knows the famous answer, not to embarrass the challah, right? Which is quite possibly the stupidest reason I've ever heard. And I don't know why that has to be the reason, since as already the prophet said, oh, there's two reasons, there's more than two reasons why. There's a lot of wonderful reasons. To say that the reason why we cover the bread is so that we don't embarrass the bread is a little bit silly, right? Why are we using such a silly answer, right? The bread doesn't have any feelings. It's not like if you step on it, it's going to say, ouch. What do you mean? It's going to be embarrassed because you have to make a bracha on the grape juice for that verse. That's what you're going to explain to them. So many wonderful, beautiful answers. Why do we use that answer? But if you are going to use that answer, so why don't you actually explain it in a way that makes sense? Sussman likes, you know, talking about midrashim and, you know, not taking them so literally that you don't understand what the meaning behind the midrash is and what it's trying to say. So maybe there's something that it's trying to convey with that answer and not just the superficial answer, but usually that's all I heard. The second thing is, and I mentioned this in my shiur that we're going to do this over the summer, is giving Divrei Torah. There's the Divrei Torah that you guys prepare and hopefully, you know, throughout the year. And those are, you know, meant to be an opportunity to really figure out how do I give a Divrei Torah and how do I find the Divrei Torah, how do I put together a Divrei Torah. But I mentioned in my shiur that there's another aspect also, which is just to always have a Divrei Torah. Wherever you go, every week, every Shabbat, and there's easy ways to do that. But you should always have a Divrei Torah prepared, even if that means using resources that make it easy. For example, an example that I gave is even just listening to Divrei Torah. There's YU Torah is one of the examples that I gave, and which we're going to use this summer, is that there's 100 million Divrei Torah out there. Literally just listen to a Divrei Torah for 5 minutes and then turn it into something that's a little personal and try to make it your own. But having Divrei Torah that you always have, and they're so easy to find that time to listen to the Divrei Torah. I now have a very far walk. I went from living in the building to now living down the block, so I have about 5 to 7 minute walk, which is fantastic. So it happens to be one of the Divrei Torah that's on YU Torah from Rav Yamin Goldsmith, who I happen to really like. He's the head of Shalvim for Women, and he has 5 minute Divrei Torah, for example. So the Divrei Torah that I'm using today, at least as the core, came from that I listened to on my way this morning when I came to Yeshiva. So he asked the question, why is it that the Meraglim story, which is in the beginning of our parasha, why is it said right after the story of Miriam? What's the question? So there are two possibilities. We've had this question in other cases in the Torah. Why is this next to that? But it also seems like if you look at the story of this with Miriam, it talks about how they left from Chatzerot and they came to Midbar Paran, and then this story happens of the Meraglim. But the story of Korach, which is next week's parasha, actually also happens in Chatzerot, according to Rashi in the beginning of Dvarim. It says in the very first psukim, it talks about all these places that they went to, and Rashi says it alludes to different places and different things. And when it says Chatzerot, it talks about v'chatzerot b'machlokoto shel Korach, that the story of Korach happens in Chatzerot, i.e., the story that actually happens after the story of Miriam telling Lashon Hara, Miriam and Aaron telling Lashon Hara about Moshe, comes. Korach should be the next story that comes, and not the story of the Meraglim. So why is it that the Meraglim story is right here? So the Rav Shimon Schwab explains the following. He says that when it comes to Lashon Hara, we understand that if you say something bad about somebody, it embarrasses them, it hurts them, so it does some kind of damage to them. That's why you shouldn't be speaking bad about somebody. But the Meraglim, which the Meraglim weren't simple people, these were the heads of the nation, they thought that was it. But when it comes to talking about stones, to talking about land, right, so that's not part of what Lashon Hara is. And he says that what they should have learned from Miriam, even though they were talking about Moshe, which is a person, but Moshe, as we're told in this story specifically, This is when it says the famous statement about Moshe, Anav, Aya Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam, Asher Pnei Adama. That Moshe, for him, he was almost like an object in some ways. He didn't think anything of him. He didn't care. You can say anything about him. He didn't mind. It wasn't something that would upset him or embarrass him. And therefore, they should have learned from that even talking about a land or Eretz Yisrael should have been something that they learned that they shouldn't do. And he also talks about how the land is a chefza shel kedusha, that it's an object of kedusha, which also certainly Moshe represented. And that's why the story of the Miraglim is right afterwards to teach us that they should have, Rashi says here, they should have learned from the story of Miriam not to say bad things, not only about people, but also not to say bad things about objects. I want to tie that back into the first thing that I said when I asked about why we cover the challah, and a bunch of people here said, oh, because you're embarrassing the challah. And I said, well, that's silly, right? Because the challah is not embarrassed. The answer is that it's not about the challah. It's about you. It's about what it does to you when you say something bad about somebody else. You know why we cover the challah? Not because the challah is embarrassed, but it teaches us something. If we're telling you to be sensitive about an inanimate object like the challah, oh, you have to be sensitive and put a cover because you might say... So then that's a lesson that we should be learning. Wait a second. I have to be sensitive to inanimate objects? Kal v'chomer, how much more so do I have to be sensitive to people, to human beings with feelings, to people who can be actually hurt and embarrassed by the things that I say? So there's a lesson that it ties into what we just said, that even objects, it's not only about the objects. What's bad about speaking about the objects? The bad is about me. It turns me into somebody who speaks badly. It turns me, that's why it says also they were mitzloninim, that they complained. Not that they were, there's a story when one of the times that Bnei Yisrael complained, it says that they were mitzloninim. Not, some people explain that they were complaining, but they were complainers. In other words, it's something about the character of the person that is a problem when you speak about things, even inanimate objects. It says something about the character of a person. You learn something about a person by the way they even interact with things that are not, do not have feelings, kal v'chomer, the way we should be talking to our fellow Jews and our fellow people. 9:15 here.